You probably caught that the first line of the reading today was the last line of the reading last Sunday. And so our reading today is just a continuation of that scene that we began last Sunday with Jesus in the synagogue at Nazareth. If you remember, Jesus took the scroll, it said, he unrolled it, and he found the passage in Isaiah which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." People were amazed. It says they were amazed at the gracious words that came forth from his mouth. But then they began to think a little more. Isn't this the son of Joseph? Didn't he grow up here in our midst? Don't we know him? Where did all this come from? How can he be a prophet? They began to wonder, began to question. But what really irritated them was when Jesus told them about Elijah and Elisha. Because both of them went outside of Israel, went to the pagan countries, to the Gentiles, and worked miracles. And Jesus was implying that he was going to do the same. And you know, that's the last thing they wanted to happen. The Gentiles, the pagan nations, had caused them a great deal of suffering. And at the time that Jesus was with them, they were under the control of the Romans. And the Romans could be very cruel. And their great hope was that God would send a Messiah, and that this Messiah would be a great military leader, and he would throw off the power of their enemies. That those pagan nations would be punished. They would be condemned. They would be destroyed. And so when they get word of Jesus going out to them and proclaiming to them the good news of salvation, they were incensed. They were angry. They wanted to do away with him. You know, that admiration that was right at the beginning of the gospel reading very soon turned to hatred, because they wanted him to treat their enemies not with mercy, but with condemnation, with destruction. They had not understood the quality of God's love. They did not understand that mercy is at the very heart of love. And that because God loves each and every person, God was not about condemnation, not about destruction, but about forgiveness. I'm going to go now to the second reading, because Paul, in that second reading, which is one of the great readings of literature, speaks to us about the nature of love. He says, "Love is patient, kind, not jealous, not pompous, not rude, not self-seeking, does not brood over injuries. Love bears all things. Love never fails. What Paul is doing there is calling you and I to imitate the love of God. As God loves, St. Paul is inviting us, he's challenging us to learn to love. To learn not to want revenge, condemnation, destruction of our enemies, but to treat those who have harmed us with mercy. That is the quality that Paul wants to see in us. A love that is so strong that we can treat others with mercy. Might ask, what is love? Well, it's far more than a feeling. Although very often we equate it with a feeling. St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the great minds of the Catholic history, said that love is to will the good of the other as the other. In other words, to will good for that other person. But to will good for them, not because of what they could do for me, not because, well, they will like me if I am good to them, not because they might pay me back, not because what others might think, but to will their good just for the sake of their good, not for anything that it might do for me. That is love. And what is the ultimate good of any person? The ultimate good is that that person come to eternal life. That's the deepest love. When I do whatever I can help that person on their journey to the kingdom of heaven, even when it costs me, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's a risk. You know, love never has a desire for revenge. It never wants to pay people back for what they've made us suffer. It doesn't want them to pay for the wrong they have done. I suspect that's why Pope Francis has spoken so strongly against the death penalty. Because so often it is to make them pay for what they have done, rather than to give them the opportunity to have a change of heart, to come to know the mercy of God. You know, Jesus reached out to the foreigners, to the pagans, to the Gentiles, because he wanted to include them in eternal life. He wanted to gather them, he wants to gather all of us into the kingdom of our God. But then you and I too must reach out in mercy to others. And once again, the greatest love, the greatest mercy that we can extend is to help them come to eternal life. There is no greater love than that. help someone come to the kingdom of heaven, where they can know life and light and joy for all eternity. Mercy always asks us to forgive the wrongs that others have committed against us, to extend to them the mercy of God. Let us ask God to place this love in our own hearts, this willingness to be merciful, this capacity to forgive. You know, in the end, it is not harshness, it is not punishment that will transform this world. It is mercy that will transform this world. God has been merciful to us through Jesus, his Son. He invites us to extend that mercy to those around us. Really, to extend that mercy to every member of the human family.